Welcome to a Bowden Education podcast. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the impact of mentoring on early career teachers and how this can benefit you as a professional. And we'll today be speaking to Harriet Smith. Harriet is in her third year of primary teaching, having completed a PGCE with mathematics specialism. Harriet has a special interest in maths, as well as reading for pleasure within the classroom. And this September, Harriet is going to commence completion of her master's in education. So welcome, Harriet.
Thank you.
So first of all, in the early stages of your career, if we take you back to when you were first, well, you are still in the early stages of your career, but if we take you back, so thinking back to these first, over these first 3 years, what have you found to be the priority in terms of your own development needs?
I think I try and find a priority of things that classroom. So I've kind of started off with my development with things that the children needed. So I took a special interest in, last year in some SEN training. And wanted to have a look at those kind of needs within my class. But as things have gone on, I've wanted to start to think about some more leadership roles and taken an interest in things that weren't given to me or the opportunities within my school. But I quite like having the opportunity to find things elsewhere as well. Feel like I take a bit more control over my development if I have to kind of sort it out and what I'm interested in as well.
Great. So you've kind of, in essence, really taken the development needs that you required to fulfil your day job, if you like. But yeah. Then you're starting to look for other things that you're interested in either now or potentially in the future to inform what you think your development needs are.
Yeah, completely. The stuff that I've done for leadership has been really beneficial, and it might not, as you say, be what I'm looking for right now, but it's helped me really have an understanding of my role within schools and also those people who are, as you might say, like above me and kind of what they do on a day-to-day basis. And it's given me a really good understanding of what they do and a respect for what they do as well.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting when you start learning about other roles within, say, a school setting, and you start seeing and maybe having a different perspective about what those people do, and it maybe enlightens you to the areas of their work that you weren't aware of before.
Yeah, completely.
So, Harriet, let's go back to the start. So about 10 months ago, your head teacher offered you the opportunity to have mentoring, but an external mentor. As this head teacher did to the three other early career teachers. So there, these are two NQT plus ones and two NQT plus twos. So when you were approached, how did you feel initially about the idea of being mentored or having mentoring?
Initially, I was a little bit sceptical because I was thinking like, oh, do I need this? And so I didn't know if they were giving it to me as a, oh, you're struggling with something, so let's kind of get your mentor. But once it was explained what the role actually entailed, I was like, oh, okay, I could quite enjoy this. And I'm so glad that I did, because it's been absolutely brilliant. But I do remember the first meeting that I had, and I was quite nervous of how to kind of talk to somebody for a couple of hours when you don't know them very well. They're not like, I wasn't friends with them or anything like that before. So that was quite a strange idea. But the mentor, she was so she put me at ease straight away, and we chatted really casually. And it was, yeah, the first meeting was brilliant.
Going back to that, for your first thoughts, that's really interesting, isn't it? And I think maybe people that listen to podcasts always try and think, oh yeah, that would be my perception, or that's where I'm at. So when you first got offered, your first thought was, is it because I'm underperforming? And I think there's that's fascinating in itself. So why do you think your or any other teacher's initial reaction might be something like that?
I think, especially in my career, I've never really had an opportunity like this before. The only time that you kind of were given advice or anything like that was, you know, if you hadn't had a good observation, or like myself, during my NQT year, didn't go as to plan. So I never really had somebody be like, oh, let's just have a chat about your day-to-day teaching, unless there was kind of a underlying incentive as well.
And how do you sort of, so actually, if we flipped this and thought that if interventions happened more generally in school as a normal occurrence, rather than an intervention when things were not going right, do you think that we'd have teachers that kind of really improve and develop at a much better rate, in a much better state of mind, than if we use all of our resources to intervene only when things are a bit wobbly?
Yeah, completely. It's exactly the same that you do with children within the classroom. We all know that if you just put an intervention in place when things have got, you know, bad enough, that it doesn't always work. You've got to think of things that you can do like normally with the children that kind of prevent those interventions happening. So I think it's exactly the same with teachers, that if you put something in at the very last stage, they're always going to see those interventions as negative things, and they're not going to look forward to them and know that something's wrong. Whereas if you do it like normally throughout your everyday practice as a teacher, I think everyone would be a lot more open to it.
Okay, so moving on now. So you obviously accepted this offer to be mentored over an academic year, essentially, to begin with. Explain to us the process. So how does it work with mentoring pragmatically? What are the rules? What are the occurrences? What's the pattern and so on?
So we had our first meeting, as you say, about 10 months ago. And within that, we kind of just worked out like who each other are, what we have interests in and everything like that. So we kind of have a rule of like a professional relationship as well. So we know that we won't talk about what's going to happen in our meetings with anybody else. We know that we can trust each other, and we can have quite honest conversations as well. I've said things to my mentor that I would never say to my head teachers or anything like that, but I get real valuable feedback, which is really helpful. So very honest, which is brilliant. We also know that we're like, my mentor is there for me. She wants to help me succeed, and she's not doing it to make herself have any gains, or she doesn't want to I can't think of the phrase. She's doing it because she really wants to help me, like genuinely wants to help my career, which is amazing. So we meet probably once a month if our schedules coincide. It hasn't always been perfect. And we try and do face-to-face meetings, or we've moved to things like WhatsApp and stuff like that, especially at present. So it's just, yeah, having a face-to-face meeting with somebody every now and again, and we might talk about things that I want to talk about, or we might talk about generally where things are going with my future or anything like that. It's very much me orientated, like where I want the conversations to flow.
Okay, so there's no sort of preset agenda really at all. You drive it, are you? Do you feel that you're driving it?
I do. Sometimes I know that we might have a meeting where I'm not quite sure what we want to talk about, and so a mentor will guide it, but I never feel like it's what she wants to do. It's very much about what I'm interested in and what I want to talk about at that point as well.
Okay, and the working out, you do it, as you say, a sort of a mixture of online, a mixture of face-to-face. Mm-hmm. How does that work for you?
My mentor was always very much like, where do you want to meet? What time do you want to meet? So it's very based on me. So almost giving me that sense of control that, you know, if I wanted to meet in a cafe, I could. If we wanted to meet at school, I could. It was really up to me and where I felt comfortable. So almost, yeah, letting the ball be in my court where I want to meet. And so it's my conversation and things like that. And it was always very open. If, you know, I didn't want to meet that time or talk about those kind of things, it was okay.
And we all know that teachers are really busy people. Mm-hmm. And so have you found it hard or sometimes at all resented having to make space for this ongoing dialogue and meeting?
I personally haven't. I really like relished this opportunity. You don't get a mentor every day, and especially with such great experience. So I really took it as like, it's, you know, it's 2 hours of my month. If I can't make time to do that, then I'm not going to be able to make time to kind of make those changes in my career that I want. I know that other people who were on the same course did find it a little bit more tricky. But I think it kind of, it depends on how you view your career and how important it is to you.
And so this takes us kind of nicely into my next question. So personally, what do you feel that you've gained from being mentored?
I think I've gained a lot. I don't think I realise how much I've gained. Like, if I was able to actually look back on myself 10 months ago, I think I'd realise that I've, you know, I've gotten a lot out of it and I've changed a lot as well. But first and foremost, I've gained a lot of confidence within myself. My mentors really pushed me to be able to do things as well. So not just confidence within the classroom, but how to kind of like communicate with SLT and talk to them about things as well has been brilliant. I've written articles and done things like these podcasts as well. We were meant to do a talk at BrewEd as well, but with the coronavirus, unfortunately, that got cancelled. But I've been given so many opportunities that I wouldn't have got, and that I know other people at my current school are very jealous of as well, because it's not something that happens every day.
No, so going back, you right at the beginning, you said it's changed you. Can you expand upon, so you've obviously acknowledged that you've changed, is this personally, professionally, what changes have you seen?
I think especially everyone at the beginning of their career, you're kind of NQT year, we all talked about it, and it's just almost to like get through the year. And that definitely was the case for me. And then as soon as I started mentoring as well, I kind of saw that, you know, it's not just your day to day that you've got to get through. I don't want to just be that teacher who kind of like slugs along. Having the mentoring has made me really kind of see that I want to develop in myself, and I have. And it's changed my whole outlook on kind of, you know, my career and where I want it to go, and also given me the driving force to do it myself. Not everything is going to be handed to me. My school can't necessarily afford it, or they don't always think about those things personally. So it's my career, and it's kind of made me realise that I need to be the driving force to get to where I want to go.
And do you feel so much autonomous and in control now of where you're going and your whole professional identity then?
Yeah, completely. I remember in my first or end of first year, beginning of second year, I was looking to do some training, and I remember kind of having to go through the motions of going to SLT, ask them if it was okay, all those kind of things. And now I have been given much more resources to be able to go out and just find them myself, and I know that I can control when I want to do training. It doesn't have to be during school time. I've been given more guidance on like what books to read and things like that. And to be frank, like, not much of it has, like, basically none of it has come from school, so it's all from me or from Bowden Education and stuff as well. So that's given me that driving force, and yeah, it's my control. If I want to do it, I will do it.
Great. And you talked about doing things that you've not done before, so writing an article, doing this podcast and so on. How's that made you feel?
It makes me feel very like cherished, and makes me feel that somebody has invested in me and that thinks that I have something quite important to say, which is lovely, because there's so many teachers out there and none of us know whether we're doing the right thing half the time. It's only us in our classroom with our children and our TAs if we're lucky. So having somebody else who wants to listen and wants to kind of like have my insight has been, yeah, very positive contribution. As I say, like building that confidence as well.
And do you, at the bottom line of it, Harriet, do you feel proud of yourself?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. So we've seen what you've gained from it. So moving on now to think about, firstly, how do you think the process of mentoring has impacted upon your practice within the classroom, if indeed it has?
So it's definitely made me more reflective. I know we always talked about that when you're at university, you know, reflection on a lesson. And I definitely forgot about it kind of as time went on. You get into your normal daily practice. But when we have our meetings, I know that sometimes I get asked questions, and it really makes you think about what you do on a day-to-day basis. And it means I might be guiding the direction of readings and stuff like that, and then take anything that I learn like within to the classroom as well. I know that I did a webinar with you guys a couple of months ago with primary wellbeing in the classroom. And I remember as soon as I'd done that, taking ideas that I got given straight into my classroom.
And
my kids love it. So it's just made me kind of aware of so many more things that I can use within my daily practice.
And is it giving you the confidence to kind of play around and try and realise that some of this isn't going to work, some of it I need to tweak, but hey, it's fine because I'm really in a space where I'm self-reflective and being evaluative of my own practice?
Yeah, definitely. It's made me try different things, some of which have not always been successful. Yeah, it's given me the confidence, okay, and I know that I had somebody walked in on one of the lessons that I was trialing, and it was perfectly okay for me to turn around and be like, no, look, this is why I'm doing this. Yes, it didn't work. And we had a whole conversation about kind of that reflective practice as well. And it made me confident to say to them, like, I wasn't okay, but you understand that I was trying something new.
Mm. So then what impacts has mentoring had upon you then as a professional? So beyond the classroom, more broadly?
Well, apart from the confidence, which I definitely think has helped me with everything, it has made me more aware of where it can go. So sometimes you just kind of get stuck thinking about, you know, getting in the classroom, and if there's not much opportunity for you to progress to middle management or something like that, this has kind of opened me up to thinking about, okay, well, I could do mentoring with younger members of staff. Thinking about doing like student training, so student teachers, that opened me up to a few other pathways within my career as well. And as I said before, having that respect for different members within the school as well, I think has been really beneficial.
Great. And so lastly, what now for you then? How has this made you reevaluate what's next for you, and what are your next steps?
So as you said at the beginning, I'm planning to start my master's in September, and I really wanted to do that to kind of re-enhance all that my learning, wanting to continue that as well, and also having the opportunity to be quite a reflective practitioner. Hopefully I'll get that through my master's too. And I kind of always did have the aim of, but I actually think doing this mentoring and having somebody else who has kind of, had their career progression as well, it's made me be a little bit more relaxed with everything. And I'm very happy at the moment to kind of see where my career takes me. I don't want to have, my name on the door by that age or anything like that. I want to see what happens within my teaching job. So to be honest, I'm not quite sure what the next 5 years or anything has planned out for me. I'm just going to see what opportunities I get given and where I end up.
And actually, do you know what? Sometimes that's the best place to be, not knowing. And so people sometimes frown at that. And it's quite often, isn't it, an interview question. So where will you be in the next 5 years? And to answer that question with a, I have no idea, might be frowned upon. But actually, isn't that the most exciting?
Mm. Yeah.
And then as well, it's interesting for you to say that you've kind of, rather than used mentoring to fast track your career and, really speedily climb the ladder, you're kind of implying to me that the mentoring has made you much more relaxed about the rationale for your development and where your development might take you.
Yeah, completely. I've seen people within my school who have, climbed the ladder and get to where they want to be, and they're not happy with it. It's not what they expected. They don't really know if they want to do it anymore. So I am using this time to really kind of venture out and find lots of different things to do as well, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah, and builds that great foundation that then you eventually, if you do go into a more senior role or promoted role, that actually you've got some really strong foundations there to draw upon that will help you in your day-to-day new role.
Yeah.
So if you were offering any advice to early career teachers who were going to be mentored, what kind of things would you advise them to do in terms of engagement?
I'd say, first of all, to not be scared about it and to take the opportunity, because it's, even if you're wavering on it, you can meet for that first time and you can decide whether it's for you, and then you can make that decision rather than just flat out saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I also think that I'd say to somebody, take every opportunity that you are given. This is not going to happen probably again. If you are, you're very lucky. But if somebody who is listening to you and respecting everything that you say, like, offers you opportunities, then take them. Find the time within your busy schedule as a teacher, because it could, you know, lead to different paths and things like that. So take every opportunity that you are given from somebody, and also be open. You don't want to go into it being like, this is what I want to get out of mentoring. Kind of see where you go.
Yeah, okay, that's three really good points of view. And I think it's so important to realise that that mentoring is not a contract. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, if it's not working for you, you can walk away. Mm-hmm. It's not something you should ever feel forced into doing if it's not working. Even though you're really busy, sometimes you think, I haven't got any space for more. But sometimes space creates more space,
mm-hmm.
and enhances your motivation and enthusiasm. So your advice would be to give it a go.
Yeah, definitely. And just as you've said, like, you know, finding that time to do something, it will ignite something in you. I've never been one that, like, you know, hated getting up and going to work, but I've definitely noticed a bigger enthusiasm within my teaching since I've done this. And, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn to do a workout or anything before school has been a little bit easier, because I've had something reignited within me as well.
Well, that's great news. And thank you so much for your time and your insights on being an early career teacher, a teacher that we want to keep in the profession when we see so many early career teachers making the decision to leave, and maybe how mentoring may help with that retention. So thank you for your time, Harriet. It's been fascinating, and your enthusiasm for your career, and I'm sure it is benefited throughout your school with the children that you teach and from your colleagues as well. Harriet's co-written article can be found in the Teach Primary March edition, and good luck, and hope you write many more and do lots of other different things.
Thank you, Catherine.
All right, take care.
Bye.